come together to worship God and to listen to His word. We could worship God, and as He carried the weight of the world upon His shoulders, we know that God will carry us through. He took the world's weight, sinful weight, upon His shoulders. He took the cross, the world's cross, Jesus bore, and surely He will carry us through. Let's close our eyes and look to God. Father, we thank You that You bore the world's weight upon Your shoulders, the weight of sin, the weight of curse, the weight of punishment, the weight of pain and sorrow, the weight of sickness, Lord, the weight of disappointment, the weight of loneliness, Lord, the weight, O God, Master, of being deceived, Lord, everything You carried upon Yourself, and You died for us on the cross. But we thank You, You rose up again triumphantly, and even now, as we are going to listen to Your living word, hide me behind the cross. Let this message come from Your throne, O God, with Your anointing, with Your blessing. It will be You and You alone, and we'll be able to hear Your voice, see You, and see Your love, and understand You, and understand Your love. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. This morning, I wanted to study. You know, this has been a burden in my heart, a foundational spiritual warfare. Foundational spiritual warfare. We can turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. We will read this passage. Then Jesus, if you have your Bibles, please turn Matthew 4, verses 1 to 11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, He was hungry. The tempter came to Him and said, "If You are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took Him to the holy city and had Him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If You are the Son of God," He said, "throw Yourself down, for it is written, He will command His angels concerning You, and they will lift You up in their hands so that You will not strike Your foot against your stone." Jesus answered Him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took Him to a very high mountain and showed Him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give You," He said, "if you'll bow down and worship Me." Again, Jesus said to Him, "Away from Me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve Him only." Then the devil left Him and angels came and attended on Him. The adult life of Jesus after baptism starts with a temptation. And some call it as a testing that Jesus went through, that God allowed Him to go through this temptation and the testing, and to prove His faithfulness to God. The life of and the ministry of Jesus is a fierce spiritual warfare and a battle. I want to take us, all of us, through the foundation from where Jesus started His spiritual warfare. Matthew writes to a Jewish audience to prove that Jesus is the Messiah, and he takes effort to do it faithfully. Matthew was a tax collector whom God called, and God lays this upon his heart to write the gospel. But he does a lot of painstaking effort to go through the Old Testament, the prophecies. He wanted to prove to the people of Israel, that the Jews especially, that Jesus is the new Israel and He is the Messiah. The Israelites were brought from Egypt and then went through the Red Sea and into the wilderness for 40 years. And the Bible says they were tested for 40 years. That's what the Bible says in Deuteronomy. Now, before that, God chose a family and made them into a nation and wanted to bless the world through them. But the nation of Israel failed God miserably. Now, Matthew tells that Jesus is the new Israel, or the faithful Israel, and the Messiah through whom God will bless the world. This has been the desire for God, to bless the world. And he found that Israel had failed him. And at the same time, God has already planned, knowing very well Israel will fail him. And he wanted to get the Messiah out. And even before the foundation of the world, God had planned to bring Jesus into the world as the Messiah. And Matthew records it. The more I read and study the Word of God, the more I begin to appreciate the glory, not the synchronizing of thoughts, themes, and the fulfillment of prophecies, and the accurate way things are arranged in the Bible. It's so beautiful. If you read it very carefully, you know, and learn through different scholars, listen to them, read the commentaries, you'll be amazed at the way God, in his heavenly wisdom, has taken effort through different people. Imagine 4,000 years, nearly 40 different authors, 66 books. He has taken effort to arrange it in such a beautiful way, and the theme runs so beautifully and wonderfully. And just a few of the scriptures I wanted to quote to you. Matthew 2:15, the Bible tells about Jesus taken as a baby by Joseph and Mary to Egypt. And then the Bible says, and was there until Jesus and Mary and Joseph was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. And then Matthew records, this was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, out of Egypt I have called my son. Look at the way God carefully fulfills his word. Out of Egypt I have called my son. And you can see this prophecy, which was given in Hosea chapter 11 and verse 1. And also in Exodus chapter 4 and verse 22, we find that God is telling Moses to tell Pharaoh, Israel is my son. So you find here that even as God called Israel out of Egypt, God is calling Jesus out of Egypt. And then if you read Matthew chapter 3 and verse 13 to 17, it tells about the baptism of Jesus. And it was not just an example for you and me, but also it's a fulfillment of what had happened. You know, it was done by our forefathers. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 to 2, the Bible says, I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our forefathers, our ancestors, were all under the cloud, and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Here again, you find that Jesus is equated to the Israelites, how they went through the wilderness and how they came out of Egypt, went through the Red Sea, and were baptized into Moses and in the sea and in the cloud. Now, Jesus as the new Israel, as the faithful Son of God, he is taking this water baptism, going through the motions of water baptism. And then you find in Matthew 4 verses 1 to 2, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And this was an experience that the Israelites went through in Deuteronomy 8 and verse 2. And here the Bible records, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commandments. Here again, he equates Jesus to the Israelites, how they were led 40 years in the wilderness and was tested by God, what was in their heart. And here again, you find that Jesus was led into the wilderness for 40 days, corresponding to the 40 years that the Israelites went through. The first man, Adam and his wife, failed God. And the second man, Jesus, overcomes Satan. Paul calls Jesus as the second Adam. Now, having this as a background, Jesus is a perfect example for you and me. And God's desire is that each one of us will be able to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. And the Bible says he's our model, he's an example. And God wants us to follow and walk in his ways. Now, in this spiritual warfare, the first thing that happened to Jesus is the challenge of identity. The challenge of identity. Satan tried its best to distract and tempt Jesus from the very beginning of his public ministry. First, he tried to kill him when he was a baby, when Herod ordered all the children before 2 years to be slaughtered. And God's plan and power was always over Jesus, protected him and covered him. Now, as an adult, God allows him to go through this testing. Matthew 3 and verse 16, you find, and as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him, I'm well pleased." And imagine, Jesus was focused, and even when he was 12 years old, he could reason with some of the teachers in the temple, the things of God. And you can read that in Luke chapter 2, verses 49 to 52. And then when his parents questioned him, where was he? They were missing him in that crowd. And where was he when he found him? He says that he was about his father's business. And the Bible says he was also obedient to his parents. This, you can read that in Luke chapter 2, verses 49 to 52. He was about his father's business, and he was also obedient to his parents. I'm sure the life of Jesus, these few scriptures tell us, is early life. What his early life was. And God is happy thus far, so far, with Jesus and his commitment to submit to water baptism later. And then after baptism, God says, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I'm well pleased." God is pleased with Jesus, very happy. And that's one part. The main part is, "This is my Son, whom I love." And the devil, or Satan as we call, surely has heard this voice from heaven and realizes that God will spell doom to Satan through the ministry of Jesus. And Matthew 4 and verse 3, the Bible says, the tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." God is saying, "This is my beloved Son." Satan comes and tempts him with his identity and tells him, "If you are the Son of God, then tell these stones to become bread." He wants to hit at the main point where God opened his mouth so joyfully and saying, "This is my Son." Satan is wanting to put a doubt in God's, in the mind of Jesus. Tempter used the same technique. Now he used against Eve. Genesis 3 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?'" If you read carefully how God said it and how Satan comes and tells, "Did God really say any tree? You should not eat any tree." That means they cannot eat fruit. That was the twisting of words. And not only that, it wanted to say something against God's word. God has pronounced something. God has told something. And Satan is using the same words to twist and cast doubt in the minds of Adam and Eve. Sadly, they failed God. Failed God. But the Bible says Jesus did not fail him. If you are the Son of God. And also you remember when he was hanging on the cross, there was these words spoken. "If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." Satan wanted Jesus not to go through what God has ordained for him to go through. He wanted to attack Jesus and the very identity of Jesus. This attack Satan wanted to do this attack on Jesus so that Jesus will not fulfill the mission. Casting doubts on what God has said. Devil's aim is to, even today, distort God's word, twist God's word, so he can discredit God's word, so that we can doubt God's word and not go back to God's word. I wanted to tell you, devil's plan to test Jesus first regarding his identity as the Son of Man, Son of God, failed miserably. The second one was the challenge of the mission. Even before the foundation of the world was laid, I said God had planned a mission for Jesus. And Matthew 1:21, the Bible says about Mary, she will give birth to a son. And then about Jesus, you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Please note that word, people from their sins. And 1 John 3:5, the Bible says, and you know that he was manifested to take away our sins. Jesus came to take people's sins away, save people from their sins. He was manifested to take our sins, John writes. And the Bible says in 1 John 3:8, for this purpose, the Son of Man was manifested, that he may destroy the works of the devil. So the devil knew very well that Jesus will destroy the works of the enemy, destroy Satan on the cross, and then he will go further and finish him on the cross and save people from their sins. And satanic plan was to crush this plan of God by tempting Jesus to sin. First, tempting God, Jesus, so that he can be distracted from his identity. And the Bible says, for the Son of God was manifested. He knew that well, that one day it's going to happen to him. And Satan wants to focus first on the identity and second on the mission of Jesus. Never think we are in a different world today. Jesus was tempted in every area where we are tempted even today. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16, for everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes from the Father and not from the world. Everything in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life does not proceed from the Father, but from the world, the author of all evil. These are the three areas. Precisely every human, you and me, are tempted, tested. And Jesus was also tested, but he came out successful. I want to go through the three temptations quickly. The first temptation, the Bible says in Matthew 4 and verse 3, the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus was hungry. He has been fasting for 40 days. And there is a legitimate physical need. There's an appetite that he has to satisfy. And the Bible says God led him into the wilderness, and even that fasting was a submission to God's authority and will. We don't know how many times Satan came and tempted Jesus about this bread. Matthew records, Luke records, and to some extent Mark records the temptation of Jesus. And we only see three temptations, but we do not know how many times we do not know how many times he was attacked to give up. And this temptation is to fulfill the lust of the flesh, legitimate human desire. First, I feel it is a triple temptation. If you are the Son of God, turn this stone into bread. The second one, you can do it yourself and do not need to depend on God. You can satisfy your physical appetite in any way you want. If you are the Son of God, turn this stone into bread. Why you wait? Why you hunger? Why you struggle with this? You can take, you are a Son of God, you can make this stone into a bread. So many stones are here. And God is well pleased with you. He will answer your prayers. You can do. You need not have to depend upon God. You can go ahead and do it. And you have a physical need, appetite. You have an appetite, physical appetite. Satisfy it. Any way you want, you can do it. And here you find the lust of the flesh is in focus. The same is happening in the world for all of us. As I mentioned, there are legitimate needs and there are offers to satisfy it in an illegitimate way as many times as we want. Satan seems to tell Jesus, you have a need and why you need to hunger and struggle. Your God is not bothered about you. He said he is very pleased with you. You are the Son of God. And today you are in the desert struggling without food. God is not bothered. And then it's a, you can live independent of God. Why you need God? You have been given all the power. You can do it. Today, my brother, my dear sister, we all face the same thing every day in different forms. I don't have time to go through it. We can relate this to our context very easily. There are many times we want to be independent of God. We want to take our decisions. We think this is good, that is good. We want to go ahead and do. We think I am a child of God, so I can do what I want. The grace, the hyper grace doctrines are there. I can sin and I can ask for God's forgiveness. God has already taken all the punishment. You can satisfy your physical need in the way you want. And these Jesus answered, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And please note, Jesus quoted the word of God from the book of Deuteronomy, the Old Testament. Old Testament is equally important for you and me. Old Testament is very much needed for our faith and growth in God. A few months ago, we were in a program and there one pastor was conducting that program. And so easily he said, we don't need the Old Testament now. We need the New Testament. There are so many people who give importance only to the New Testament. But I wanted to tell you, if you and I have to grow in God, live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, then the entire Old Testament and the New Testament are equally important. It is not just the physical food alone for our physical body, but we need the word of God in our life. Israel complained about food and did not trust God to provide food for them. And Jesus was thorough with God's word, so he quoted the most appropriate scriptures to Satan. Reader's Digest tells about a story a man faced. An overweight, it's a little funny, an overweight businessman decided it was time for him to shed some excess pounds, excess weight that he was on his body. So he took his diet very seriously and even changing the direction in which he was driving his car, because he would go through a favorite bakery and buy a lot of cakes and eat every day. And he decided, I'm going to give up. And he was holding on for some time. One morning, however, he showed up at his work with a huge coffee cake, very attractive looking. Everyone in the office looked at him with surprise and said, scolded him, you are so overweight and you said you're going to be on diet and you were holding on to diet all this while. What happened to you? Why are you holding the cake? And he smiled and he said, this is a special coffee cake. I accidentally went by the bakery this morning and there in the window, I saw a lot of beautiful cakes and this chocolate cake. I felt it was no accident. God is taking me through this path, So I prayed, Lord, if you want me to have one of those delicious coffee cakes, let me find a parking lot. Let me have an open spot so I can park my car right in front of the bakery. And then he says, sure enough, the 8th time around, I was able to find a parking lot. You understand? Many of us are like this. We wanted to give things to God and say, it is God who is allowing me to do it. And here is a businessman. He wanted to satisfy his physical appetite. And then he puts the blame on God and say, God allowed me to go to this bakery. The second temptation, Gospel of Luke and Matthew differ in the order in which the second and the third temptations are mentioned. You know, there's a little order. So the main important thing is not the order, but the temptation that is mentioned there. Matthew 4, 5 to 7. Here the Bible says, then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, so they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. The Bible does not mention how the devil took Jesus to the highest point in the temple. Maybe he showed him, I will keep you here, you can fall from here and do that. We don't know. And this is to fulfill the pride of life. He was tempting Jesus to show himself spectacular in front of the huge crowd that gathers at the temple. Normally every day, you know, the people of Israel's life was gathered around the temple. Everything revolved around the temple. And there would be a lot of people coming to the temple from not only Israel, but also from the rest of the world to worship God, to offer their offerings for other types of sacrifices. And there, in the midst of all this, he wanted Jesus to fall down and see angels coming and taking care of him, to show him spectacular in front of a huge crowd. Today, almost everyone wants some of the spectacular gifts of the Holy Spirit because it will show them very spiritual and great. My dear brother, my dear sister, the spectacular things can give us a little bit of excitement. But the Bible says when Jesus was asked to show himself spectacular, Jesus again quotes from Deuteronomy and says, no, you cannot do that. You cannot put the Lord your God to test. Israel tested God in the wilderness several times and displeased God. And here Jesus says, you shall not test the Lord your God. In the first temptation, we know that Adam and Eve satisfied their lust. And here you find that they wanted, Satan wanted Jesus to show himself spectacular, but Jesus overcomes the devil. Trusting God is different from testing him. God is asking us to trust him, not to test him. God is long-suffering, but we cannot test his long-suffering. God is asking us to trust him as a heavenly Father. He's a God, we sang that beautiful song, if he can carry the world's weight upon his shoulder, how much more he will carry you and me. If you are going through any type of temptation in your life, if you are tempted to test God, you tell the Lord, Lord, I don't want to test you, but I wanted to trust you. I wanted to trust in your goodness. I wanted to trust in your wisdom. I wanted to trust in your love. I wanted to trust in your power. I wanted to be close to you. And the third temptation of Jesus. Here the Bible says, again, the devil took him. Devil did not leave him. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. Please note the word, and their splendor. All this I will give you, which the world and the splendor I will give you. He said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And then the devil left him and angels came and attended on him. Materialism is a great attraction and addiction. And I know a person who wants very little, but whenever a new phone comes of a particular model, he will not keep quiet. He would go and replace that phone, which will even if it's a few months old, if a new model comes, he will exchange it for a new model. Materialism. You know, we are not satisfied. And here, God wanted to take Jesus through the cross. And the Bible says in Luke 4 and 5, verse 5, the devil led him to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. All the kingdoms of the world, because everything was at his feet, and he could show maybe through some kind of false vision. In an instant, he shows. Lust of the eyes catches our attention in a flash, and will defile us as if we are not going to resist it with the strength. If we are not going to resist with the strength of God, it will defile us very soon. It will defile us very soon. It is important we don't give any place and we have to depend on God. And here Jesus is never giving any chance to the demon. And he says, Satan, and he's saying, away from me, get out from me. God planned that Jesus will go through suffering, go through the cross, and then win the battle for all of us. But the devil is shortcutting and saying, why you need that glory? You need not have to suffer, die, and then win this world. I'll just give it to you. I'll abdicate. I'll give it to you. You take over. Only thing is you worship me. That's all I want. But my dear brother, my dear sister, we are not in any way different when we face temptations in our life. The lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life will haunt us until we die. And the Bible, there's a story. Once, all the trees joined together in an area and they rebelled against the axe. The reason is the axe was used with a wooden handle taken from the tree to cut down trees. So the trees said, we are not going to allow the axe to take any wood from us. So we will boycott the axe. And they did it. And then the axe comes and begs them and tells the trees when they had their convention, please allow me to come and put forth my reasoning. And then the tree said, okay, we will allow. And the axe came and then he told, see, you please give me a little wood. The reason is I will use that only chop all the little shrubs and other small trees that are blinding your view, that others can't see your beauty. I will cut those small trees and the plants, that's all, so that you can be seen beautiful. The trees fell for it. And the trees looked at each other and said, okay, he's going to do good to us. He's going to just chop off all these small plants and trees. So let's give it to him. So they gave him. And in a moment, he took the axe, started to do its work. It not only chopped all the small things, after it chopped the small things, it was not satisfied. It went to the big trees and began to chop the big trees. And one of the authors says, if we don't avoid the appearance of evil or the appetite of evil, as the Bible puts it, we will not escape the reality of evil. And here, we can either serve God and money. Today, materialism holding us. Jesus knew that he was to climb the throne through submission to God, suffering, death and resurrection. But praise God, he never gave up. Jesus said, away from me, Satan. And that's the beautiful thing. And, you know, we can submit to God and say, away from me. A little voice from our heart, away from me, and Satan flees. And the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 12, said that resistance to the I'll come to the scripture later, Matthew 4 and 12. I'll come to this later. Matthew 12 and 25 to 29, we will see. I'll come to Matthew 4 and 12 later. Matthew 12, 25 to 29. Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and every city or household divided against itself will not stand. If Satan drives out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then can his kingdom stand? And if I drive out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your people drive them out? So then they will be your judges. But if it is by the Spirit of God that I drive out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. And again, how can anyone enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he will first ties up the strong man? Then he will plunder his house. The binding of the strong man. Sometimes we use our words, say, bind, I bind you, Satan. I've used it many, many, many times, and I used to wonder why I'm binding it with my mouth and how it is coming loose again and again. Who's allowing it to become loose again, you know, from the binding? And then I began to really take time to study the word, and I began to learn one thing. How did Jesus bind the strong man so that he could plunder? He was casting out demons so easily. And people were saying he was using the prince of the demons to cast it out. But Jesus gives them an answer. No, I'm not casting out through that, but I've done something. I bound the strong man once. When did this happen? When did this happen? That was my question. I began to really study, and I really learned a lot of lessons from that. I will come to that. This was the foundation for spiritual warfare that Jesus began and culminated on the cross. How we can do spiritual warfare. Jesus, good soldiers of Jesus, remember that. We are called to fight a good fight of faith, and we are called to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. What things devil used to defeat Adam and Eve, he used against Jesus, and he will use it against us too. He defeated Adam and Eve. He could not defeat Jesus. But he will throw the same thing against us. And because Jesus won against the powers of darkness, Jesus will give us the strength to do it. How can we get this spiritual warfare going? It's a basic one, please. You know, if you take time to make a study on the spiritual warfare, it's a huge subject. Some of them are very controversial too, very frightening. Some of the people like Peter Wagner and others, Neil Anderson and so many others, Keith Green and several servants of God and several scholars, they tell us, be very careful. Don't get into the higher levels of spiritual warfare. And, you know, we thought, okay, let's do the basic spiritual warfare, learn the basic spiritual warfare, and let's learn from God's word. Let's submit ourselves because we are in a spiritual warfare. Whether we like it or not, we are either warring against the forces of darkness by submitting to God, or we are submissive to the evil in this world. And demon is acting funny, and we don't know when he will put us down. He's happy that many of us are not into the spiritual warfare. Satan wanted Eve to first one know your identity in the spiritual warfare. Know your Jesus was tempted about his identity. Satan wanted, you can go through the next slide, please. Satan wanted Eve to doubt God's word and the identity, and he succeeded. Satan tried the same with Jesus and he failed. One of the reasons that believers not able to rise above the petty struggles is they do not know their identity. Please read this scripture very carefully. I pray, Ephesians 1 verses 18 to 21. Paul writes so beautifully. And honestly, I feel sad that I learned it very late in life. And this is the scripture. I pray that he's praying for the Ephesian church. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. And then he explains the power. mighty strength God exerted when he raised Christ from the dead. And look at the next sentence, and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Now, Paul wanted us to know few things. Know him better, know the hope of his calling, and he wants us to know the great power, and that power is which God exerted on Jesus when he raised him from the dead and made him to sit at the right hand of God. And then he goes to say, above heavenly realms, far above, please look at the distance that is mentioned there, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. Far above all the evil forces, nowhere close. You know, he's saying, Ephesians church, all this while you had been down under the power of evil. But now remember one thing, God has raised Jesus up from the dead and made him to sit. He exerted the power of God to raise Jesus from the dead and made him to sit at the right hand of God, far above all the principalities and powers, thrones and dominions. And every name that is named now and in the world and in the age to come. And then he goes to the next scripture, next chapter, verse 2 and verse 6. It tells about what Jesus has done. And here he says, and God raised us up. Who? You and me. God, he went up and seated us in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. I'm sure it's such a beautiful way Paul is bringing about spiritual warfare. He's saying, my church, Ephesian church, God raised Jesus from the dead and made him to sit in the heavenly realms at the right hand of God, far above all this wickedness, all this evil, demonic forces. Now, Jesus is not sitting alone there, but he has also raised us up because he, if you read Ephesians, because of his great, rich mercy, great love, and abundant grace. He has raised us up, made us to sit in Jesus, in the same place where Jesus is, far above all principalities and powers and thrones and dominions. Our true spiritual identity, position is in Christ, far above all rule and authority, principles, principalities and powers. We are not ordinary people. We are all little powers of God that God has placed in our areas. And we have no power on our own. Our power comes because we are in Christ. Please note that. We are not under the demonic or satanic power, but far above them and over them by being seated in Christ. The basis of Jesus' temptation is his identity. If you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, do this. Because God pronounced, you are the Son of God. Today, you and I forget who we are. It is said about Martin Luther. He became depressed. He saw it as a temptation of Satan. And he would turn to the enemy and say, I am baptized, I am baptized, I am baptized. Martin Luther had a problem, a crisis of identity coming to him. And then he would say, no, I am baptized, I am baptized. When we are tempted, we can identify ourselves with God and say, Lord, I am there with you. There was once an absent-minded professor who became so absorbed in his work that he forgot simple details. He would forget simple things. One morning, his wife told him, Henry, we are going to vacate and move to a new place. Don't forget to come to the new house. Don't come over here from your college. And the day passed by, and the man came to his old house. He entered the front door and he found that the whole house was empty. It was locked actually. And then he opened with the old key and was found it was empty. And then he walked out and sat down, very sad, wondering what happened to my house, my wife and my children. And then a young boy came up to him and said, And then he looked at the little boy and said, a little boy, do you know the people who used to live here? And the boy replied, sure, dad. Mother told me you will forget that we are vacating the house. He forgot what the wife said. He forgot his the new address. and he forgot even that his little, that little boy was his son. Sometimes we get so absorbed in little things of the world, we forget God. We forget that God has told us what our position is. First, know your identity. In case for spiritual warfare, we should know our identity. We are in God. We are in Christ. Tell the Lord. The second one, know God through his word and build a relationship through constant, regular, and passionate prayer. Please note the things that I'm mentioning. Constant, regular, and passionate prayer. Passionate prayer. Jesus said in Matthew chapter, Peter calls the word of the Lord as the sword of the Spirit. This also teaches us an importance of God's word. Jesus used the word of God to combat the enemy. And I don't know, church, how many of us are really taking enough and more effort to study the precious word of God. Jesus used the word of God. And Jesus answered him saying, it is also written. When the devil said it is written, Jesus said, it is also written. That's where it is, a balance. And the Bible said, devil left him and angels came and attended on him. Think of it. The devil left him and angels came. Matthew 4:11 says angels came and attended on him. One, number two. And we also, we find that he was with the wild animals. If you read that in Matthew, Mark chapter, we find that he was with wild animals. And this was a fulfillment of the messianic prophecy. And Matthew is trying to tell the Jews, the kingdom rule has already begun, has been inaugurated. And in Isaiah 11 and verse 6, the wolf will live with the lamb. In the messianic age, in the kingdom of God, the wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, and the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. Jesus binds Satan in that wilderness and inaugurates the kingdom of God and gives a sample to all of us, saying, this is how the kingdom life will be. The wild animals will come, but it cannot harm us. We will be live in peace. Just think of accurate. The word of God is. How accurate the word of God is. God is fulfilling even the minute details, and he wants to remind us so beautifully from his word. Later, Jesus could call himself the bread of life and also feed the multitudes with bread and fish. Our prayers should leap out from our heart, touching the heart of God. Please note that. Knowing God through our prayer is our prayer should leap out from our heart, touching the heart of God, not just from our lips. Let God recognize our heart's sincerity to please, obey, and honor him. God should be able to recognize our heart's sincerity to please, obey, and honor him. Our voice should be a familiar voice at the throne room of God. As we will trust a surgeon for surgery, we must trust God's power to reach out to us and heal our sinful heart. And Tony Evans, a great man of God, he said, prayer is a relational communication with God. Prayer is a relational communication with God. And I wrote down, so praying without ceasing, pray without ceasing is a continuous relational communication with God. A continuous relational communication with God. And the Bible says in Hebrews 2 and verse 18 that Jesus was suffered by being tempted and is able to aid those who are tempted. And Hebrews 4:15, he said, for we do not have an high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was tempted on all points like as we are, and if it without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Boldly to the throne of grace. Let our voice become familiar at the throne of grace. Without building a relationship with God, our effort will be in the flesh and it will never succeed. This is the basis of spiritual warfare. And finally, keep away from all that contaminates our soul. The relationship Jesus built with God through constant fellowship helped him to overcome temptation. It was a constant one. If our spirits do not trouble us for breaking our communication with God, then we must ask God to sensitize our spirits. If even little sins does not break our hearts, it does not trouble our minds, then there is something wrong. We should ask God, Lord, sensitize my spirit. Obedience flows only by building a relationship with God. It cannot flow out of our strength. Psalm 97 and verse 10. The psalmist said, "Oh, you who love the Lord, hate evil." Let that be our prayer. Lord, help me to hate evil. Psalm 38 and verse 9. Lord, all my desire is before you. That is a powerful statement. Lord, can I say, Lord, all my desires are open before you. It is before you. And you know that how the psalmist said, Lord, I long for you. And in Psalm 36 and verse 4, you say he devises wickedness on his bed. This is the evil people. And he sets himself in a way that is not good. He does not abhor evil. Our evil man does not abhor evil. And a godly man, a godly woman will abhor evil. We should ask God, Lord, help me to abhor evil. And we find in Isaiah 8 and verse 13, he said, "The Lord of hosts, him you shall hallow. Let him be your fear and let him be your dread." Let him be your fear and let him be your dread. And if you read very carefully, I've not brought it up on the slide. If you read carefully, Deuteronomy chapter 2 and chapter 11, you find, I think 25, verse 25, you find how God says, "I will put the dread of you and fear of you upon the evil kingdoms." You can check that and see. And how can that happen? That spiritual warfare can happen only when we begin to hallow God, fear God, and be dread of him. And it happens when we begin to build a relationship with God, as mentioned in Isaiah 8:13. We are really binding the strong man when we begin to dissociate ourselves from the enemy of our soul. We become soldiers of Jesus to fight the enemy. The enemy will tremble when it looks at you and me. Why? As it trembled when Jesus was alive, and as Jesus overcame, and he's willing to help us when we are tempted, we will be able to be a blessing. Holiness influences faith. And strong relationships with God, stronger with God, will help us to live that life. There is a story about Augustine, Saint Augustine. He was living a very wicked life. And one day his former mistress, soon after his conversion, turns to him and walks in the opposite direction. Surprise, the woman cried out, "Augustine, it is I." He walks away. He sees her face to face. He turns and he walks away. And she cries out to him, say, "Augustine, it is I." Augustine continues to walk, cried back to her, "Yes, but it is not I." What he meant was, yes, I am a new Augustine. That was an old Augustine who could not avoid those temporary pleasures. Now I'm a new Augustine. It can be you, but now it is I, my new life. I wanted to commit ourselves to this basic spiritual warfare. We are all in the warfare. Don't, please, let's not, church, AGAG church, let's not be comfortable. God has given us life to come to worship together, to give our tithes and offerings, and then carry on with our life. We all have a responsibility to be soldiers, good soldiers of Jesus Christ. The foundational spiritual warfare begins when we know our identity, when we know God through his word and build a relationship through constant, regular, and passionate prayer. And also by keeping away with the strength of God, all that contaminates our soul because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Let's close our eyes and look to God. And I'm going to ask Pastor to pray.